It's not that hard. You get to know the stuff, get to know the scriptures, the same thing that you got saved by. And then prayer. Yield to the Spirit. You'll see what God can do. All right, let's take our Bibles and we're going to turn to Luke chapter 1. Anyone need a worksheet? Did not get a worksheet? Lift your hand up. Everybody okay? All righty. We're going to try to make this somewhat quick because we want to take some time to decorate. If you can give us 10 to 15 minutes even, it would help. It'll take a little while, but many hands make light work. So if you could help us out a little bit, I would appreciate that. All righty, Luke chapter 1, verse number 26. And let's read those verses, and then we will go from there. Luke chapter 1, verse number 26. And in the sixth month, you say the sixth month of what? The sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. We talked about Zechariah and Elizabeth. And of course, she had been barren, and she's going to give birth to a child, and that child is going to be John the Baptist. Is that a familiar theme to you? Did you ever notice that throughout the Bible, he had this lady and she couldn't have a baby? Couldn't have a baby. And then God gave life. See, where there's barrenness, God can give life. But we don't notice the life without the barrenness. So actually, the barrenness brings attention to the life. Sometimes things aren't exactly what you planned. Maybe God has put something on your heart. And you think, well, if this is going to happen, it's going to happen. It's just not happening. And sometimes it's because he's waiting to increase the impact. Simeon in the Bible, which we'll talk about in a few weeks here, was an older man. We don't hear about him. In fact, I'm sure some folks thought it was crazy old Simeon. Kept saying the Messiah's going to come. I'm not going to die until I get to see the Messiah. Yeah. He's a nice old man, but he's a little crazy. But when he saw the Messiah, he knew. And everybody knew that he knew. God sometimes has something going to show us. So in the sixth month of this lady who was old, shouldn't have had any kids, who had been barren, when she was 6 months pregnant. And you know what that means? Everybody can see she's expecting. He said, well, she looks like she's 6 months pregnant. Huh? Everybody knew. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. That's probably putting it mildly. And not only was she troubled at his saying, but she was troubled at what he was going to say. She was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. In other words, that's some howdy-do. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now, sometimes it's scary when God starts to work. But when he works, it may be because we found favor. It takes you out of your comfort zone. It's going to ask you to do something greater than you ever thought of. Don't walk away from God when he tells you he's got something big for you or hints that he's got something big for you. Let him do it. Don't get ahead of him. But sometimes he puts something in your heart and you just need to be faithful and he'll bring it to pass. So he said, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Verse 31, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Now why did he say that? Because he wanted to prove to Mary, I know it sounds crazy, but you want to hear something else that's crazy? Elizabeth's going to give birth too. Oh, come on. Yeah, she is. Well, if she can do it, maybe he can do this in me too. Verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Now there's quite a statement. Be it unto me, however you say it, according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's pray, and tonight I'm going to try to be not too awful long, but we'll see how we do. Talk about open to the will of God. Open to the will of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for some time together in your word. Thank you for the way you speak to us. Lord, you're so gracious. Not only did you stoop down to die on a cross to pay for our sins, that we could have a relationship with you, but Lord, you said as we yield to you, you can do great and mighty things. Great and mighty things. Far beyond our imagination. Lord, help us to be open to your will. Thank you for some time together. Speak to our hearts. Whatever the need might be here this evening, I pray that there'll be something to meet that need. And we ask in Christ's name. Amen. There are two basic messages that I'm going to want you to see out of this passage. One's personal, one's more doctrinal. But we're going to talk about the personal application here this evening. In the personal application, we see the surrender of a young woman and really a young couple. God puts this young woman and thus her espoused husband into a very difficult position. Let me say that again. God puts this young woman and her espoused husband in a very difficult position. Now, here's the thing. When God puts us in a difficult position, he's the one that gets us out. When we put ourselves in a difficult position, he'll get us out, but we got to confess it was wrong to get there in the first place. And sometimes that's the most difficult part of the getting out. So this position that God puts them in requires them, I don't know whether they had a whole lot of choice, but it kind of required them to make a choice. My guess is, and of course God knew she wouldn't, my guess is if Mary said, no, I'm not going to do this, I don't think he would allow her to carry his son. But he also knew what she would say, because that's who she was. Number one. This is a simple message. Number one, God's plan. God's plan. P-L-A-N. Mary is in the situation. She's going to have a baby. She's probably mid to late teens. She's in a little town called Nazareth. Few thousand people probably at the most. Everybody knows everybody else's business. It's not quite as much so like that in Dover as it used to be, but my guess is there was a time in Dover when everybody kind of knew everybody else. They're going to see she's going to be expecting. After a while, you can't hide it. They know she's not married to Joseph, though they know that she's espoused to Joseph. So either they're going to blame her and feel bad for Joseph, or they're going to blame both of them. But you know, there's never been anything like this before. There hasn't been anything like this since. pretty hard to explain, and we kind of know natural processes. God has put her in a situation. She's in this because God planned a situation. Verse 26 says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God." Gabriel didn't think this up. God thought it up. God has a greater plan for us than we do. I'm sure she would never have dreamed this plan up. Okay, God, I want to be a virgin. I want to get and give birth to your son. This was not her plan. This was no way in the world, even in her imagination. So God has his great plan, but his plan is going to require us to live by faith and not by sight, because it ain't never been done that way before. God has a plan. Number two, God's plan may not correspond with our plan. God's plan may not correspond with our plan. I never thought about living my life and not getting married. I just really assumed I'd get married, and I'm glad God saw fit to let me have the wife that I have. And I just couldn't imagine. Talk about a man who's not good to be alone. I'm one of those. But I just don't. But it's not just that. The fact is, I wanted a companion. I needed a wife, and of course Nathan's now engaged. He says, "Boy, I need to get married." He said, "I need to get married." He's ready. It'll be a long time. It's going to be probably September next year, but when you get everything. But anyway, it's not good. And I remember having an old little plan. You know how we do this, and you know, especially ladies, they get it all planned out, and they're going to have their wedding, and this is the dress, and they've been planning since they were 12, and these are the shoes she likes, and this is what the dress looks like. She wants to have these in her flowers and all these things, and fine and dandy, and she's going to get married, and he's going to be 6'2", and he's going to be about 145 pounds, and he's going to have muscles bulging all over the place, and blue eyes and wavy hair, and they're going to have 2.8 kids, and you know what I'm saying? You got it all planned out. This is the way it's got to be. But God's plan isn't always what our plan is. In fact, sometimes his plan seems wrong. Sometimes his plan seems inconvenient. Sometimes his plan seems a little crazy. Sometimes his plans just plain mess up our plans. Verse 27 says, "The angel came to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." She probably was already thinking what her wedding attire was going to be. Her and her mother had been talking about what they're going to do. Back then, when they'd have a wedding, they'd feast for about 7 days. I mean, it was a big to-do. But we're getting the cart before the horse. God changed their plans. Can you imagine her parents' response? Remember, just think what it must have been like when she went back home and told mom and dad. "Now, Mary, I know you're a good girl, but no one's going to believe this. Don't you just think you better confess? I like Joseph, he's a good man, but you all messed up." What in the world are the neighbors going to think? The shame of it all. The townspeople are going to be looking down their noses at us. And all she's trying to do is do what God's called her to do. And then they're going to say, "You know what? I've known Mary, I've watched Mary grow up all these years, and I've never seen her. I've really known her to be a liar. And she doesn't even look like she's lying now. You can kind of tell when folks are lying. I wonder if she's okay. I mean, she's kind of messed up." I mean, the question is, are they fornicators? Are they lying? Or are they just plain crazy? God has a plan, and God's plan may not correspond with our plan. Number three, God's reward can appear to be a punishment. God's reward may appear to be a punishment. You know, it could be, you know, sometimes when God says, this is what I need you to do, I need you to do something far different than anybody else that you know has ever done. But I want you to do it for me. Why me? What did I do? Why are you picking on me? Why are you making me go through this? Why do I have to do this? That could be our response. Verse 28, he says, the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Mary is now in this situation because she's highly favored. Why'd you do this to me, God? Because I like you. Because I like you. You're special. Sometimes a call on God, because you've been faithful, may seem almost like he's punishing you. It's almost like he's got something against you. He's asking you to do something that no one else has to do. Why is he asking me? Because you're faithful. And I've got something bigger for you than anybody else. I've got something special for you. Something unique. Because I can trust you with it. In the book of Acts, it says that after some of the disciples were beaten, they praised the Lord and glorified to God because they had been counted faithful to suffer. God wasn't punishing them. God hadn't lifted his hand of blessing or his hand of mercy. He says, I want you to glorify God. And since you're faithful, I can trust you that I can put you through this. And the people, the others, will look on you and see how you react in this situation. And they're going to know God did that. God did that. Mary and Joseph are not in this position, in this situation, because they're bad. They're in this position because they're good, because they're faithful. Difficulties are not necessarily, I think you have this one, difficulties are not necessarily punishment. I didn't give you that, did I? I should have. Difficulties are not necessarily because God is upset with us. Sometimes the difficulties, kind of like the other night we said, God, the God of all comfort comforts us, and then we can comfort others with the comfort that he's comforted us with. When you say, well, he's going to make me go through this. Sometimes he allows you to go through things. You say, well, I just don't understand. Sometimes I think there's some people who have the ministry of infirmity. You ever see some of these people? Every once in a while, you'll see somebody, it just seems like it's there. They're just one, they're out of the pan, into the fire, back into the pan, into the fire, and back in the pan, into the fire. And you're like, oh my soul, what in the world is this? And yet they're faithful and just keep on motoring. They got a good spirit. They're praising the Lord. And you say, I don't get it. But as they're faithful through all those times, I think, again, we're going to stand before all the congregation when they come to the Bema seat and say, bring up so-and-so. So look at their faithfulness. So remember them, folks? Remember them? They didn't waver, did they? I'm not saying they never wept. I'm not saying they never hurt. I'm not saying they never called on me. But they called on me because they knew I'd be faithful. I took care of them. You all saw how they walked with me. Even through all those things they went through. Letter D. God uses the faithful to show His power and glory. God uses the faithful to show His power and glory. She is in this difficulty because she's the best choice. He didn't choose anybody else. He never did choose anybody else. In the fullness of time, when everything was in place, God sent Christ to be our Savior, and He knew that Mary and Joseph were going to be here at that time. That's the girl right there. That's her. They're in this difficulty, if you would call it. Who knows what the parents are going to think? Who knows what the town people are going to think? The fact is, you know what? She wasn't necessarily ready to have a baby yet either. But she's in this difficulty because she is the best choice. 2 Timothy 3 says, yea, and all that I will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, she's not being persecuted. What I'm saying is, though, just because you're living godly doesn't mean you're outside the realm of hurt, confusion, troubles, difficulty. And the fact is, having a baby is really, it's kind of a wonderful thing. I mean, a woman wanted to have a baby. This was great. But not now. Not in this order. This wasn't what we were planning. Psalm 34:13. Let me read this. It says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace, pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil and to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, the Lord heareth, deliver them from all their troubles. And the Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and saveth such as are of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Now the fact is, it is not about the fact whether she's going to have a baby out of wedlock at this point. It's not about any of that. What it's about is, am I going to trust him? If I trust him, even when it makes sense, even like I almost should be mad at him for putting me in this situation, I know it's going to work out okay because he's the one who put me here. If I trust him, it's going to be all right. I'm going to be okay. If you could see the other side, it wouldn't take faith. And sometimes, though, listen, we know that this is that no one else has ever went through this but her. No one else has ever gone through this but her. We know that. Sometimes we feel like no one else has ever gone through this but us. That's probably not the case because there's nothing new under the sun. But we feel that way. But wait a minute. God's been through it millions of times. He knows exactly what to do to get us through it. So God has a plan. His plan does not necessarily correspond with our plan. And God's reward sometimes appears to be a punishment. She's getting to do this because she's good. She's highly favored. But I don't know how to do this. Number four, God's blessings may come in unusual packaging. God's blessings may come in unusual packaging. Again, back to verse 28. The angel came unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. So that's a blessing. Look at verse 42. And she spake out with a loud voice, and this is when she went back to see Elizabeth. And it says, verse 41, it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice, Elizabeth, and said, blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed. Look, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. It's a blessing. God calls this situation a blessing. Now, my guess is when the Gabriel was telling these things, women can do all, can multitask. And, you know, their mind's already going, she's over thinking, what's mama going to say?
What's daddy going to say?
What's the chatty lady next door going to say to everybody? We don't even have the house set up, we need a nursery. Sometimes it's, let her be. Blessings can be confusing. Blessings can be confusing. We may initially see blessings as curses and see curses as blessings. And they very well may be just the opposite. The Bible says the prosperity of a fool shall destroy them. The devil makes sure our pockets are full and we prosper that way. And we see it as a blessing. In fact, we see somebody, well, why are they being so blessed? Why are they? And down the road, he finds out that it destroys them. The blessing may be the tough time you went through. What's that song the ladies sing once in a while? The tears may be the blessing. Well, how's that? I don't know how that goes, but there actually may be blessings in the issues and the problems. I mentioned a few weeks ago, Job had no idea why God was doing what he was doing. And the day he died, he still didn't know the way it looks in the Bible. But he found out on the other side. Now, fact is, there may be a responsibility that God's given you, like raising a baby like this. Isn't that something? God can use that as a blessing. Whether a blessing is a curse or a curse is really a blessing, the difference is that we cannot see where God is going with it. Count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations, because the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. James 1, verse 2. Count it all joy. I don't understand. It's okay. You just keep walking with him. He takes care of sorting everything out. Letter C. Blessings must be accepted by faith. Blessings must be accepted by faith. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We must remind ourselves of this when we do not understand the blessing. Well, it doesn't look like a blessing. It looks like a curse. If God's clearly leading in it, sometimes he puts us in a place we really can't go out of it. Well, what's he going to do now? I don't know. Again, there's been times in my life when there was no way out. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of got excited. And the reason I got excited was because my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. If I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he'll add all the other stuff, comes in with the deal. And if we keep ourselves confessed up, doing our best to actually, literally, I mean, not convincing us we're doing our best, but I mean in our heart, we're seeking him with our whole heart. He said, we'll see with all our heart, we'll find him. If you're really true with all your heart, as far as you know, I mean, really, you even say, Lord, is there someplace else I should be, someplace in my life that I'm not seeking you? You're seeking him, and then everything falls apart and there is no way out. It's kind of exciting to see what God's going to do next. It really is. When you come to the end of the rope, there he is. When you find that he's all you have, you find that he's all you need. Letter D, when we are unwilling to yield to God's plan, we lose the blessing. When we are unwilling to yield to God's plan, is it letter D? Okay. Unwilling to yield to God's plan, we lose the blessing. Watch. When she gets to Elizabeth's house, she says in her Magnificat there, you know, that all women are going to call her blessed. What if she told Gabriel, no, I'm not doing it. You get some other girl. I've already got my plans, and it doesn't include a baby right now. She'd miss out on the blessing. Watch this. When she gets to talk to Simeon 8 days after he's born, when she goes to dedicate him, Simeon said, the sword's going to strike through your heart as well. Can you imagine what you must have felt like at the foot of the cross? That miracle baby died. During the jeers and the mocking of the crowd, the people he was dying for. I guess, in some ways, I'd like to have been there. Because I think she had a silent weeping. I don't think she sobbed at her loss. I think she was compassionate and empathize and sympathize with his hurt and seeing her child hurt. But the fact is, in Luke 1:46, it says, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Her son was her Savior. And not for hers only, but a propitiation for all the sins of all the world. I got a feeling that God's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, Miss Mary. Number five. Let me say this, and I'm going to put it in quotes here. God is willing to use the less qualified to do great things. Sometimes it may be young adults. It may be somebody you just think, you know, I'm just a regular person. Well, I don't have a degree, and I don't have this and that and so forth. Sometimes God is willing to use the less qualified. Let's go back to Matthew 1:18. And I'll just real quick here show you something here. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. That all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Just a young couple. 30 years later, they said, isn't this Mary and his father Joseph the carpenter? We know his brothers and his sisters. Just regular people who have been faithful. Why was she highly favored? I think because she was simply faithful to the Lord. He said that Joseph was a just man, a good man, yielded. You'd be surprised what God will do with somebody if they're just simply yielded. Number six, We need to understand that we are not fit to be used except that God makes us fit. None of us, nobody, is fit to be used except that God makes us fit. Verse 46, I started reading. Let me read a little further there. Mary said, Luke 1, back to Luke. Luke 1, 46. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." It works now. It works next week. It's going to work next year. It's going to work the next 100 years. It's going to work the next 1,000 years, the next 3,000 years. Listen, God blesses those who are faithful. He regards our low estate. He has mercy on them that fear him from generation to generation. What is the difference? I'll tell you what the difference was. Verse 38. "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." I'll just do whatever you want. You want me to clean floors? I'll clean handmaid. Clean floors. I even do windows. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. I'm simply your wash girl. Be it unto me according to thy word. That's what made her great. Be it unto me according to thy word. Number 7. God is willing to do the impossible through us if we are willing to be used. Are you open to the will of God? I think there's an awful lot of people who come to God like to go to a lot of Christmas parties. They look at the buffet of food and they'll say, "Well, I like that. No, I don't want any of that. Well, that looks kind of good. Let me try one of those. Well, I don't want that." Whatever's on my plate, I'll eat it, Lord. Whatever you put in my hand to do, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not fit, but you're my Savior. Be it unto me according to thy word. Are you open to his will? Father, thank you for speaking to us here this evening. Thank you for your love for us. Lord, help us to be willing to be open to your will. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Piano's going to play. A little bit of "I Surrender All." You can go, if the Lord's spoken to your heart here this evening,